Okay, we'll call this meeting to order on March 24th at 7:03 p.m. This meeting is being held in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Law and that the requirements of the law have met with the posting of the meeting notice on the municipal bulletin board filed with the borough clerk and forwarded to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. So all please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mayor Mondo.
Here.
Council President Lopez.
Here.
Councilwoman Folks.
Here.
Councilman Guerra.
Here.
Councilman Morris.
Here.
Councilman Rossi and Councilman Speed advised that they would be absent.
Okay, very good. First order of business, we have a approval of minutes from January 13th, 2026, a regular meeting. I need a motion.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor of approving those minutes?
Aye.
Aye. All right, the next item of business is what everyone's here for, I assume. We're going to recognize one of the stalwarts from the borough. If you want to come forward, sir.
Come on, short time, real Phil. Hey, look, you dressed like this.
Very nice. We're recognizing the service of Vincenzo Orofino. Whereas Vincenzo Orofino began his dedicated service to the borough of Bound Brook in April of 1988 as a member of the public Department of Public Works. And whereas Mr. Orofino began his career as a laborer and through dedication and hard work, advanced through the ranks as a heavy-duty operator, equipment operator, and mechanic before attaining the position of DPW foreman. And whereas as DPW foreman, Mr. Orofino has exemplified commitment, reliability, and professionalism in carrying out the essential duties required to maintain and improve the borough's infrastructure and public spaces. And whereas Mr. Orofino's institutional knowledge, work ethic, and dedication have made him a lasting impact on the borough and its operations. And whereas after decades of dedicated service, Mr. Orofino will retire on October 1st, 2026, marking the conclusion of an exemplary career with the borough. And whereas it is fitting and proper to recognize and commend individuals have devoted many years of faithful service to the community. Now therefore be it proclaimed that the Mayor and Borough Council of the Borough of Bound Brook we hereby recognize and honor Vincenzo Orofino for his many years of outstanding service as DPW foreman, beginning in April 1988, and extending their sincere appreciation and gratitude for the contributions to the borough. Be it further proclaimed that the borough of Bound Brook expresses its best wishes to Mr. Orofino for continued success and happiness in all of his future endeavor. Mr. Orofino, on behalf of the borough, the council, and everyone else in this great town of ours, congratulations, and we certainly appreciate your service.
So, if I can say a couple words, you know, I've known Vinny for a long time, from my time with when I was a consultant and when I started here. The transition was very smooth with Vinny at the helm. You know, when we were in between supervisors and foremen, Vinny stepped up. No formal training, he stepped up. He's like my MacGyver. You know, if it could be fixed, he's fixing it, and he'll find something to fix it with. And for his experience, his knowledge is going to leave a huge void in this borough. For the amount of years that he's been here and what he knows and what he knows about the town. I told him I'm not losing his number. I'll be calling. But yeah, at this point I'd like to say thank you for everything. I really do appreciate your time, your efforts, and your entire career. Good to see you, guys. Oh, yeah.
All right. Next order of business, we're going to open it for readings and comments and invitations for discussion. For anyone from the public who would like to state your name.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hitzy. I live at 571 Washington Road.
Actually, this is for Jasmine. I was on the website today just trying to take a look at the agenda, and I was so swarmed by spam stuff that I just wanted to bring that up. Because we have older people. But we have older people who are not so technologically savvy. They might get things downloaded.
Can I interrupt for just a second? Billy was just telling us something. Do you mind sharing with us? Please remind us.
Yeah, I think I figured out what's causing it. And if you want to talk to your friends, you can do that. But I don't want to give too much technical
answer. Thank you. Anyone else?
I was hoping we don't have a Board of Ed liaison anymore on the council. Is that
on the Board of Ed?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So what reporting have on that?
I can.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think some people have questions about the school, Lamont School, the building that's going on there. Those are classrooms, I guess. I assume.
Those are classrooms.
Yeah. So I don't recall that didn't come before. It's I know they don't.
Those are modular classrooms, so they didn't need a rent, but they didn't borrow money. I don't want to speak for the school.
No.
But I don't think they borrowed money, so they didn't need a referendum in order to bring in those modular classrooms.
Yeah, I think they're exempt from some of the planning board approvals and that sort of thing.
Brian, correct me, but I don't think the school board necessarily has to go before the planning board.
No.
You can just as a
site plan approval, or I think as a zoning permit from a zoning officer.
Yeah, I think sometimes it has occurred in the past, but all right. So those are temporary.
They're temporary, like 20-year temporary.
Oh.
They're not trailers. They're actually modular classrooms.
Yeah.
Which
okay. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Hearing none. We're going to have just a quick note for the public. We're going to have opening bids for the library on April 22nd, 2026. And the schedule for the library, hopefully, keep our fingers crossed. Bids will be due on the 22nd. The council will approve the award bids on May 12th. They'll proceed on May 15th. They'll be held to substantial completion by September 18th of 2026. And final completion of the library project is scheduled at this date for October 16th. Of 2026. So shortly after that, we hope to have a ribbon cut. In the meantime, we're going to have to go in a short executive session. So I need a motion to go in to executive session.
For 25.
For Chairman Brian Furbush.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We'll be back shortly. Okay, you're going to start off
my report.
We left off with the open door.
You know, it was the anticipation. You just kind of wanted to build up. You know, and I understand that.
Any correlations to the staff left? The way you were going to speak, or was just a question?
They've had enough.
Well, they got to get early.
They do. It's some earlier than others. The garbage guys, they got to get up at 4. All right, so let's go through this as quick as we possibly can. So the 2026 CDBG applications, they were due last Thursday on the 19th. As we discussed at a council meeting back in February, I was submitting for Clearview Place between West Maple and Union Avenue. So that got submitted on time, got received, everything was good. So now we just wait till May, and when the presentations are done, then the committee comes up with a recommendation of award for the grants. So it should, I don't see any reason why that won't go well. Moving forward, the 25 road program was submitted down to the DOT for review. Just the Franklin Street portion. They came back with some comments. Tires addressed those comments. They came back approved. So Tires is finishing up the rest of the plans for my review. Once I review them and say we're good to go, the project will go out the bid. So that's just a reminder. That's the rest of West Franklin from Livingston to Bosler. That's Hardy from Thomas to Wheatland. And that's Daylight, which will be resurfacing between Thompson and T, and with some additional drainage as well, which is much needed in that area. Besides that, I just wanted to talk about the pool a little bit. So we had some damage from that the frozen tundra we had a couple months ago. So that's getting fixed. Once that gets fixed, which is will be quickly, we'll be able to start getting the pool opened for the new season, so we're looking forward to that. I did see on the agenda tonight that the playgrounds are on the agenda, the playgrounds for Cottington. So we are putting brand new playgrounds into Cottington Park and rid of the two existing sets, putting two brand new sets in there, as well as adding some features to the billion playground, including the swings. Some small ride-on features and sensory boards. These playgrounds will be all-inclusive for everybody to enjoy. So looking forward to that, freshening those up. And my intent is to have those open and usable for when the pool opens. Even more of it would be the goal. Besides that, that's pretty much it on the engineering side tonight.
I just have a question about Tom's Avenue. You're doing all that work. Are they going to resurface that or?
So, you're talking down by Bosler in that area, picture.
Yeah.
So, what they're doing is they're replacing the sewer main, which is another reason I'm very happy I don't own the sewer anymore. But they're replacing the sewer main from Fisher to just past Van Curen. And obviously, it's sunken, it's a temporary patch. They will have to come back through and repair it to the county's satisfaction. Whether the county makes them go curb to curb, I'm not sure. But they will, the way the county handles it is you put the patch in, they'll let it sit for 6 months and address it as needed, as it settles. Then you mill it out and you put 6 inches of base material down, which is a thicker pavement, a heavier pavement, and then 2 inches of top. And then your trench is done. But like I said, I'm not sure what the county approved for them on water restoration.
So I thought the county was going to redo the entire seat to the entire roadway.
They did. They talked about that in 2027. Yeah, which is next year. So I guess that's why I'm not sure if they're going to have them. If it was us, I'd have them pave it curb to curb anyway, just for the inconvenience, and it looks like, you know. But yeah, so that's what they're doing down there.
Anybody have any questions?
Quick question, any updates about the lights on the recreation system?
So I'm glad you asked that. We actually reached out to them yesterday, and I said, you know, where are we at? And he actually expects the lights to be in tomorrow. So once they're delivered, then I'll get them scheduled to get in there and take care of that. While I'm at it, I still have to address the big monster outside of the HVAC unit. I'm working with Kyers and another firm to assess it, see if it's oversized, if it's the right size, and then get that out to bid and install. So that's a little longer of a delay, but we'll get there.
Also, great job with your team also cleaning up the town and taking that sweeper on the entire town. I mean, I had plenty of storms. I know there's a lot of stuff that was stuck on the side of the curb, and you guys did a great job doing it once around.
I appreciate that. The piles that we picked up shows how much was out there. It was a lot. It was every bit of probably 16 yards or so. of material, if not more.
That was great. Great for some strength.
So,
well, and I also think there's probably a bunch more guard damage that hasn't even been brought out.
I don't agree with that, Till. And I've seen some, and what my intent is to get it out of guard debris, have our guard debris trucks go out. They're going out this week, actually Thursday, Friday. If I see more out there and I'm able to, I will announce another round instead of waiting 2 weeks and, you know, try to keep up with it. So it's not sitting out for forever, right? We want to clean up from the storm, spring cleaning and everything. And then some of the heavier stuff, from the storm damage, we were going around with the chipper truck and, you know, the larger one we were chipping up as we could. Just one last thing I want to touch on that real quick. I know I went with the DPW report a little bit, which I'm going to do anyway.
Yeah,
but the Nature's Choice, they charge us a lot for logs. They have a pay structure for brush, for wood chips, for logs. So the tree trunks themselves actually went into a went and got a vendor that's been down at the league. That will leave a dumpster at our yard. So I can put the logs in there, they'll haul it away, and the price is going to be a lot better than what I'm getting out of Nature's Choice. No offense to them, they're the only game in town, but at some point I've got to find a way to, because I hemorrhage money to them every year with trees. So I'm working on that, and then the wood chips are the cheapest to get rid of, and then obviously when we grind stumps, that's, you know, wood chips. Per se, so we're working on it.
Any other questions? Thank you. Mr. Peck, you got a CFO report to us?
This is a little bit long, so I beg your indulgence. As of March 23rd, 2026, the borough's revenue collections have been reviewed and compared to the same period in 2025. Recognizing that the current reporting period reflects partial first quarter activity and seasonal variations in certain revenue streams. Overall, several key revenue categories demonstrate positive year-over-year performance, particularly in other licenses, fire protection fees, UCC fees, and pilot revenues, while other operational revenues such as municipal court, refuse fees, and outside police work reflect lower collections compared to the same period in 2025. These fluctuations are consistent with timing, enforcement activity cycles, construction trends, and billing schedules. For our revenue comparison year over year, we did a comparison of several revenues between 2026 and 2025. For other licenses, we have made $17,880 through March 23rd, with our 2025 collections being $13,630 for the same period, for a variance of $4,250 or 31.18%. For other fees and permits, we collected in 2026, $11,133.09 versus our 2025 collections for the same period of $16,704.10. That's a variance of $5,571.01 or 33.36%. Moving along, I'll hit the bigger ticket items. Municipal court, for this time period, we collected $87,867.13 against our 2025 collections of $168,885.77. That's a variance of $81,018.64 or 47.98%. Our parking revenue is down by 9.26% at $66,848.86 against our collections in 2025 of $73,670, so that's a net of $6,821.14. For our refuse fees, we're at $229,276.31 against our 2025 collections of $286,210.12. That is almost a 20% differential. For our pilot revenues, we're at $474,122.69 against our 2025 collections of $445,604.80. That is an increase of 6.40% or 28,517 $1,000.89. NUCC, $73,652 versus our collections in 2025 of $44,973. This is an increase of 63.77%. Our revenue performance analysis indicates that other licenses are positive revenue trends, shows that several revenue categories perform favorably compared to the prior year. Other licenses collections increased by $4,250, reflecting steady permitting and licensing activity across applicable departments. Fire protection fees increased by $2,459.11, indicating stable interlocal service billing and collection activity. Uniform construction code fees showed significant growth of $28,679, demonstrating increased construction and permit activity, which is a positive indicator of continued development activity within the borough. Pilot revenues increased by $28,517.89, providing predictable and stable non-tax revenue support to the borough's operating budget. We did have some revenue areas below the prior year, but municipal court revenue decreased by $81,018.64, which may reflect differences in enforcement activity, case scheduling, or payment timing. Refuse fees collections are down $56,933.81, which may be attributable to billing cycle timing, collection-wise, and will continue to be monitored closely by the finance department. Our parking revenue decreased slightly by $6,821.14, reflecting routine seasonal and utilization variability. And other fees and permits are lowered by $5,571.01, likely reflecting timing differences in permit activity. Overall, our fiscal monitoring report outlook, it is important to emphasize that the reporting period reflects collections through March 23rd, and several revenue streams historically accelerate during the late first quarter and into the second quarter. As such, year-to-date comparisons at this stage are not fully indicative of final annual performance. The finance office will continue to monitor this report and refuse fees collections closely to ensure collection rates align with historical performance trends. Track UCC activity levels as continued development activity supports strong tax revenue growth. Monitor pilot payment schedules to ensure timely receipt in accordance with executed agreements. And provide updated revenue performance metrics and future CFO reports as additional first quarter data becomes available. Moving on, as we see in the agenda, we do have an ordinance for reappropriating. I wanted to just briefly explain what that means in context. So in addition to ongoing revenue monitoring, the administration has worked diligently to ensure that capital improvement projects are delivered at the lowest responsible cost to the community while maintaining the quality and longevity of municipal infrastructure and recreational facilities. With this objective in mind, the administration undertook a comprehensive review of previously authorized capital funding sources and available balances. Through this process, the administration successfully reprogrammed various capital funds into a newly structured bond ordinance in the amount of $221,470 to support targeted improvements to Billiam Legion Park and Codrington Park. This strategic reallocation of capital funding allowed the borough to maximize the use of available financial resources while minimizing the need for additional borrowing beyond what was operationally necessary. The reprogramming effort reflects prudent fiscal management practices designed to support community enhancements without placing unnecessary financial pressure on future budgets. Further, the administration, working closely with the finance department, conducted a detailed funding analysis to identify available resources to support necessary upgrades to the borough pool. Through this collaborative effort, funding was successfully identified and allocated a cumulative amount of $109,790 for the borough's improvements. These capital initiatives demonstrate the borough's commitment to maintaining and improving key public recreational facilities, utilizing existing funding sources efficiently, minimizing financial impact to taxpayers, and delivering infrastructure improvements in a fiscally responsible manner. The Finance Department will continue to support the administration in identifying cost-effective funding strategies and maintaining careful oversight of capital expenditures to ensure that projects are completed in accordance with adopted financial plans and statutory requirements. Overall, the borough's revenue performance through March 23rd reflects stable to positive activity in several key revenue categories, particularly UCC fees and pilot revenues. which provide important financial support to municipal operations, while certain revenues are currently trending below prior like year levels. These differences are consistent with timing-related factors and seasonal variations. The finance department will continue to actively monitor revenue performance and ensure alignment with adopted budget projections, and will report any material deviations to the mayor and council as part of ongoing fiscal oversight responsibilities. That concludes my financial report.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions? I just have a one question. When we authorize a bond, or whatever, we only use a portion of it. Are we still paying interest on the remaining portion of?
So when we authorize a bond ordinance, that is an authorization to issue debt. What has happened in the past is that we have issued debt for these projects, but we had money that was unexpended in relation to these projects. So in the event that no debt was issued and we hadn't spent this money, then we can cancel the ordinance and then that will just go back into our debt allowance pool. In this event, since we're already paying the interest on this debt, it was more efficient to reprogram this into a better use.
That's my question. Anyone else? All right, thank you. Continuing with the committee reports, Chair of Finance, Councilmember Folks, as well as the liaison to the Cultural Arts and the Planning Board.
Well, we already heard from our CFO, so there's nothing more to say in regards to finance. I was only going to say that our CFO will speak up soon. So, Cultural Arts, so we had a great meeting. The Cultural Arts Committee has approved a community-wide Mellor to promote the upcoming Battle of Apples event. This Mellor is currently in production and is expected to be distributed to the Bamford residents hopefully by April 6th. I did see that there was also some communications today. Randy is the person that we used is Mr. Short. Is going from Mellor, so the company is going to try to get this out as soon as possible so that all of the residents would know that the Battle of Bamford is happening versus it's just being the collective view that show up. So this year we really want to make it bigger and better, and one of the things to make that happen is to make sure that we market it and promote it, and we make that happen. In addition to that, the committee is also moving forward with plans to commission an artist. This is for the Memorial Day parade, the pool. So we put together Elaine, who is new to us, and Kurt, and they are serving as the co-project managers for this initiative. And the committee is going to aim to finalize an artist selection no later than April 20th, so that it gives us enough time to get the mural done for the pool pump house. Also, Cultural Arts Committee is also planning a murder mystery dinner. There's specifically a date for that is August 1st. I will share additional details at our next committee meeting. And that is it. I don't have anything from the planning board. I did not listen to the hours and cues from that meeting. So I'm happy to table that for us.
I think Thursday was canceled also.
Yes.
What is the next one?
So I think the next meeting is April 6th. And we got some reviews.
Okay, very good. Any questions? All right, Public Works, Councilman Morris, as well as the liaison to the youth services.
I'm going to defer to our Director of Public Works.
No worries. So Public Works, real quick. So we're coming out of snow mode finally. A little worse for wear on the equipment. It's to be expected with the amount of snow we had this year. We're making repairs and you know, get everything back together again, getting ready for grass season, obviously. We've been working on the ball fields, getting them in shape for the spring season. We had ordered the new garbage truck, so the chassis should be done at the end of May, and then it goes to sanitation equipment to put the body on it. So I'm hoping to have that sometime in July. It's a larger truck than we have now by 4 yards, so I think it'll stop the having to dump twice on Mondays. It'll be able to handle the routes more efficiently. So with that being said, I'll have two, we'll call them new garbage trucks to use. One primary and one as a backup. The other two, I plan on using for yard debris, assisting with bulk. And basically, the lesser of the two is running to the ground. We're not going to get much out of it. If I take it to auction, I think it'd be more beneficial if I use it. So we can't use it anymore without putting any more money into it and then sell it for scrap, to be honest with that. So that would be my goal for that. besides that, our two new guys started. They're going really, really well. They fit right in. They've been on the back of the garbage truck. They've been doing other things too as they alternate. So they've ramped themselves up to speed pretty good. So it's a big help as we move forward. The SID has taken on a second day of downtown cleaning. So that frees up another crew on a Tuesday. They're going to need to do Tuesday, Thursdays. We'll maintain Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. Mondays and Fridays make a lot of sense for us because the parks, we'll clean the parks and everything. And then, we'll be dismantling the playgrounds, as I said earlier, at Coddington, getting that all ready to go so when the product actually comes in, the company come in and install everything. Yeah, we're good. Just a couple updates, too. We've had a couple of flagpole damages at the monument. I spoke to Gates today. I'm replacing the ropes and the tops of all those flagpoles there because they're at this point, they're right on it. New flags have been ordered, so we'll have that all ready to go for Memorial Day. The only thing I'd like to ask is, they have the special America flag for the 250th anniversary. Do you want them up anywhere specific? Do you want me to change them out for this year and hang those instead of the regular American flags? I mean, or just in certain spots? You have to let me know tonight. It's something to think about as we go forward. And then besides that, we'll get ready for the Battle of Bamberg with the flags that Linda had donated again, so we'll be hanging those on the poles and getting them out before the battle. And just business as usual.
Very good. Any questions?
And for youth services, they meet every other month. We have a meeting tomorrow. And that's all for me.
Very good. Councilman Garrett, public safety, and also the special improvement district, please.
Mr. Mayor, Police Department, on the 24th of February, they had their on-site accreditation assessment, which went extremely well. That file has been submitted for review by commission. Although we don't have the results yet, we do have some comments here by the assessor. I'll just read a brief statement to Chief Yanata. I'd like to personally thank you for your outstanding hospitality sent to the assessment team during the recent on-site review of the Donald Police Department. Your professionalism, preparation, and genuine commitment to the accreditation process were evident throughout the visit, and it was clear that the standards are fully integrated into the department's daily operations. So we assume that the entire team was definitely going above and beyond to maintain our department. So thank you for that. Can I Brook, an update on that. After approximately 6 months of intense training, Patrolman Chris Eckerson and K-9 Brook are officially certified as a patrol narcotics K-9 team as of March 20th. They'll be assigned to the patrol squad. That's exciting. Keep that program going forward. Congratulations to Patrolman Chris Eckerson and K-9 Brook. Hiring after receiving the resignation, the police department conducted interviews to the position of patrol officer. We agreed on a potential candidate and are currently conducting a background investigation. Calls for service for the month, we had 1,782. At the Detective Bureau, opened 3 new cases, closed 3 cases, which includes previous months, and closed 2 cases by arrest. Community policing for the month consisted of a volleyball game that they participated in with the Boundless High School, and the blood drive, which they also participated in, and Chief Yanata also gave other incidents. Our CPAC report, total number of referrals received for the Conville Police Department for the month of February was 49. For the police department. Fire department, we have to date 98 calls. The month we have 29. Consists of 5 mutual aid calls and 2 calls into southbound road. We've had a board of engineers meeting, which is past 19th of this month. All apparatus remains in service and continues to receive periodic maintenance. Fire department dispatched for regional fire coverage assignment, providing fire coverage for Mount Brook, Enduring, Martinsville, Somerville, and Verity. All branches operate a second alarm structure fire. Also on March 3rd, the department has successfully rescued a deer out of the canal, which I'm sure most of us also on social media, together with South Mount Brook Fire Department. What stands out from this operation is that Mount Brook has a full swift water team consisting of 6 certified rescuers ready to deploy if needed, responding to the incident to assist with the rescue. We have 3 members currently attending fire, some of the County Fire Academy to obtain the firefighter 1 certification, and also in partnership with the Fire Marshal Department's hosting incident safety officer class, which started tonight. Our chief is also not in the room, and they're also together with neighboring towns. We're also attending the event. That's fire department, EMS. We have 145 calls that were answered, broken down to 67 Mount Brook, 69 Millsix, 7 in Bridgewater, 5 in Somerville, 1 in Denali, 4 in South Mount Brook. Roster currently stands at 19, with 3 candidates that are currently being interviewed to get on board. And as of December 25th, monthly 5 most shifts have been out of service. And also the new ambulance that we have purchased has completed the full maintenance and is awaiting paint next. For OEM, we had 2 responses. One was a storm response on the 17th of March, and also the other one was the tractor trailer that was stuck in under the Queens Bridge. We have members attend the NJEPA conference in April for training, as well as other training and exercises that are going to schedule for 2026. The roster currently stands at 20, including 144 deputies. That's it. The bid had a virtual meeting on the 23rd of February. I believe the next one is the 30th in person. That's going to be in this courtroom, so everyone's urged to attend. But there's a lot going on. We have a tremendous group of people that are really throwing some ideas back and forth for our downtown area and our businesses, most importantly. Currently working on a banner program with the anticipation of being installed by April 11th, which is for our Battle of Mount Brook. We're currently discussing branding ideas such as Shop Time Explorer are considered. We'll be trying to get a little bit more in depth with what we have to offer in town. Currently working on our website. Website is going to be also in English and in Spanish to be able to access our businesses to access, and also our residents to be bilingual. That's also very important. We're also currently discussing a business owner meeting, which will be downtown. So weather committee, we should be able to have that in person. And I'm sure they'll put out some information on the day for that. And we're also working on a newsletter, a welcome wagon also for residents who are moving into town, which we'll discuss a grand amount of things in regards to our business and what we have going on in town and what we have to offer. And we're currently also monitoring the FIFA grant to see how we can bring that into our town as well. And that's all I have.
Very good. Any questions for our council? Hearing none, Councilman Lopez, Economic Development, Historic Preservation and Recreation Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So for the Economic Development Committee, that's one of the resolutions. Here we have the Promise Funds Redevelopment Agreement. Then we are also started working on the re-examination of the master plan, so we are scheduling a public meeting for residents of town to come and share questions and their ideas. It will be scheduled and advertised very soon. All right, so we started working on that. And then Another information, the repo is not changing ownership. Right. Doesn't change anything else, it's not changing ownership. Regarding the recreation, once it has been approved, so for the new structure, we have now, again, another resolution. The superintendent of the recreation department will be Ms. Dino Fonataro. The program coordinator is Emma McCurdy. Recreation director is Doreen Todaro. And assistant recreation director is Mr. Lucille Sanders. And the members, former members of the commission, and will be the members of the advisory board. We met one day after our last session, so we were working on the schedule, the new fee schedule, and all the programs that are going to take place in the summer, and some other items will be for personnel for the summer. The work being done on the planning of the Memorial Weekend, Memorial Day Parade, I'm sorry, so we're contacting several organizations. We're one of those organizations that have been contacted and have returned their form of invitation to do so, so that we can plan accordingly. It's going to be a very nice big event this year, so we're working hard on that as well. Our next meeting is tomorrow for invitation. And finally, for historic preservation, we are switching to hybrid meetings, so it's going to be in person or online. We're going to switch the schedule. Also, will be advertised soon to the second Wednesday of the month, 6 p.m. right here. So we're trying to welcome to attend. And this have these work. Commission is still working on the requirements for the Magnum Historic Business District information. That's a long process, a lot of requirements for the next time. So we're commission is working on that. And that's what we have.
Very good. Any questions? So, our recreation department will now have a full-time recreation director, first time in Valmont history, actually, a full-time superintendent, I'm sorry. Full-time position to basically increase our offerings, not only to sports, but also to all different factors, all different age groups. So, that's what we're moving forward to as far as expanding our recreation. For the residents and some of the residents of South Valley moving forward. Also, not only is there a parade on Memorial Day, but I believe there's going to be a townwide picnic.
Sorry, yes, I forgot about that. Right after the parade, we're going to have a picnic, community picnic at the pool. That's the weekend where the pool opens, and we're picking a band, and you know, probably the truck and a lot of things. So we're going to be doing this after that.
And we're going to be cutting for our new playground. All right, any questions for Councilor? All right, hearing none, we're going to move forward. Introduction of an ordinance, first reading, ordinance 2026-13. This is a bond ordinance reappropriating $221,470 proceeds of obligations not needed for the original purpose in order to provide for various capital improvements in and by the borough of Bound Brook in the county of Somerset, New Jersey. I need a motion to move the ordinance to be passed on. First reading, advertised according to the law, with a public hearing on April 14th.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Lopez?
Yes.
Councilwoman Fulks?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
All right. We've got the following resolutions. The following resolutions listed below are submitted to the governing body for review and will be adopted by one motion. In separate discussion and desire, the resolution may be removed by council action. Any council members wish to remove any of the resolutions 26-086 through 096?
I'd like to vote separately on 93.
Okay, on 93. We need a motion on 93. This is a resolution authorizing execution of redevelopment agreement. By and between the borough of Bound Brook and Thomas Commons Urban Renewal LLC for property designated on the tax maps of borough of Bound Brook as blocks 5, lots 12 through 18, 18.01, 22 through 26, and 26-01, located in the redevelopment area 2. I guess we just need a roll call vote.
I'll vote for motion, right? For the motion to remove it.
So what do we have? So we want
to. Yeah, just for
No motion. No one else said a motion or a pause. He's called a motion. Nobody did.
Oh, okay. So there's no one.
Nothing else.
No.
No.
So Mayor, if I could call to remove it from the consent agenda. Any motion?
I mean,
right there. No one answered your motion.
To remove it?
He made a motion, right?
Well, I just requested it be voted on separately. Yes. Does that require a motion and a second?
Well, there's no second to that motion. So therefore, it's not getting individually.
Quit the second.
No, yeah. Unless you want to just separate discussion.
No, I just wanted to vote on it separately. I don't need to discuss it. We already have all the information.
So,
in
a second, yeah, we don't have a second. So, we're going to vote on it. So, included with the entire packet.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay. Then I need a roll call on the entire 86 through 096. I'm going to roll call. No, we don't have a motion. Correct. No, we don't have a motion. I need a motion. Second?
Second.
All right, roll call.
Council President Lopez?
Yes.
Councilman Fultz?
Yes.
Councilman O'Hara?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
I guess abstain. Just one for one, but abstain.
All right, very good. Unfinished business. Is there any business? And
Mayor, I did want to let the public know about Battle of Brown Brook. So as you have seen, we do have signs posted on Union Avenue and Main Street for April 11th and 12th. We have had our program coordinator, MLM, Lynn Hertzie, and former Councilwoman Linda Brinchovic, who has worked diligently with pulling all of these components together. So we do ask that the residents do come out and support the reenactment team, and we have some added elements to make it a full event. So that's that.
All right, that's
April
11th. Just April 11th, right? We don't have anything on the 12th in the back
room.
Okay. Pray for good weather. Yep, and we understand the city will do some planting throughout the town also, so the town will look great with banners and graveyard. Yeah. Okay. Approval vouchers 26-097, resolution approving vouchers in the amount of $1,729,340.04. I need a motion. Motion. Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Lopez?
Yes.
Councilwoman Fultz?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
All right. We are open to the public for any comments.
Oh, please. Okay.
I'll make it.
Good evening. My name is Richard Mitchell. I live on Washington Road, 581 Washington Road. I'm here tonight to talk about two issues. One is a general issue of traffic safety in the area of Piedmont, Watchung, and Juanita. And the other is a specific issue that I'll deal with after I address the general. I've lived on Watchung Road for 15 or 16 years. Particularly in the past 2 years or so, I've seen the incidence of people just using excessive speed traveling on that road to greatly increase. It's a nice road in town. People ride bicycles, they walk their dogs, they walk themselves, people run, they strollers. It's dangerous. There's no speed limit signs on that street. There's little or no enforcement of any type or observation there. In addition to that, the way Watchung Road is situated, when you approach it from Juanita, there's a large area that's open. That's really not clear how to cross those streets. People are in the middle there on the bicycles with their dogs and strollers. And it's a relatively blind approach, especially if you're going faster than 25 or 35 miles an hour, which people do. You suddenly wind up at that intersection very quickly. On the other end, where Piedmont intersects with Huachong. When you're going east, coming from in town, it's an S-turn, sort of blind corner coming up to that. And then when you're coming off the mountain, coming up, you're coming uphill, and the stop signs are set back, or the corner is set back somewhere. So the visibility is impaired, which I'm no traffic engineer, I'm also no municipal attorney, but my understanding is that's one of the criteria to consider a four-way stop. So one of the questions I would ask this council to consider is on the corner of Piedmont and Huachong, have a four-way stop, and have it signed better than it is, because it's dangerous. On the other hand, I'm not quite sure what to do, but I would suggest at least the inclusion of speed limit signs when you enter the median on the Washington Road and then at the other end of Piedmont. Just to remind people that it's a residential area, it's 25 miles an hour. I'm not sure why people speed on this road, because you really can't get to many places on it, but they seem to really hit the gas. Dave, you live there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
One of my neighbors, she observes it as well. My across-the-street neighbor and another member of the council observes these things. And I know I'm not the first person here complaining about this. So, at the risk of sounding hyperbolic and dramatic, before we have a tragedy where somebody gets hit by a car or somebody's driving irresponsibly, I would urge you to please take that under consideration for whatever steps are required next in order for that. The specific issue that I want to address is a gentleman who lives at 615 Huachong Road, who I know is not a stranger to you either. This gentleman drives a white BMW that has no license plate in the front and signed a tucked in windshield. I'm not a law enforcement officer, but I think that in New Jersey, at least for the time being, front license plates are required. I can't identify this vehicle to make a complaint to the police department. I have complained to the police department, and to be blunt, they're a great police department. I have no issue with them. That's a minor issue. I was disappointed with the response. We never received one time prior to my complaint. We had one of those portable speed signs. I was told that one would be put back on the street after my complaint. That never appeared. I did see a little bit of extra enforcement in the area in terms of the police cars, but I didn't really see a concerted effort. At least it wasn't what I had hoped for to address this issue. This gentleman accelerates from 615 Huachong Road, which is about halfway between Juanita and I'm making a public issue of this, between Juanita and Piedmont, to at least 45 miles an hour by the time he gets to the stop sign in front of my house, which is one house in from my neighbor Tara on the corner. He has a modified exhaust. Now, I'm not a car guy. I don't know much. I drive a 2011 Jetta, believe it or not, and I'm fine with that. I'm just not into cars. But I did do a little research. This car routinely, repeatedly backfires when he accelerates. My understanding is that in a car that's otherwise maintained, the only way to do that is to modify the exhaust pipes and have what's called straight piping to get that, which is illegal. There's authority in New Jersey already to take action against this car, irrespective of any municipal sound ordinance. So, again, I would urge this council to please take this under consideration, because this young man is dangerous. And not only does he cause disruption and danger, but, you know, again, now this is a bit dramatic and hyperbolic, but it's not outside the realm of possibility, which is people mistake that noise for gunshots. And it's... And it's startling. It's dangerous. It's startling to elderly people. It's startling to adults. It's startling to children. It's startling to pets. And it could theoretically, mind you, though, it could draw law enforcement resources away from someplace where they're needed for some kid who's just acting out irresponsibly. This is a serious issue. And this one guy, this is just a matter of time before there's a tragedy, either himself or someone in the neighborhood. I've spoken to his father. Other neighbors have spoken to his parents. I don't know if they can't do anything about it or there's no appetite to do anything about it. But it's a serious issue. It's a quality of life issue. And somebody's interest in their hobby of having a car, there's some point where that stops and it becomes a nuisance. Not in the legal sense of defining a nuisance, but it becomes a quality of life issue for people in the neighborhood. And also for the way our town looks. Because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to have people visit our house. It's embarrassing to see other people visiting the town. And they have to listen to that. It's not a good look. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, your comments. Lieutenant, you
carry Lieutenant Romanishin from the police department. We'll carry your comments to the chief.
Okay.
And you got his name.
We'll get back to the concerns and the concerns.
Someone will reach out to
And by the way, you're by no means anywhere near the first person who's come to in front of this to comment, to criticize, express their frustrations. I hear every day, almost it seems.
Yeah.
And the other day, I guess he had a friend who had a. All of a sudden, I hear a new one. I'm like, well, what is that? And he had a friend with a modified brand truck. And I'm like, I hope he's not staying, but it is super frustrating. I have no idea what would make someone want to do that to the neighbors that they live next to.
I
can see, you know, you get up to 287, you punch it, whatever. We hear that every day and off in the distance. And I'm like, I don't even know how loud that must be, because that sounds like it's like on 287, which where you're a mile plus from. But that I don't understand it. Now, the other thing that you mentioned with the safety of Piedmont, I have seen people coming from the end of Watchung on the circle, coming down Watchung and not even braking and going across. I've seen that a couple of times, and I'm thinking, the people coming from Piedmont coming around from church, that's a total blind, and there's no way. You have to have come to a complete stop and inch out. And I've literally watched people just not even hesitate and go straight across. And I'm like, what?
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know how to enforce that. I mean, when you think about it, the handful of times it happens, as bad as it is, there's not enough volume to dedicate. So I don't know how to effectively enforce it.
Look, like I said, I'm not an expert in this area. I need to look a little bit. You know, volume is, I guess, the number one criterion in order to have four-way stops, but the limited sight line is also another criterion.
Well, no, I'm talking about enforcement, not this four-way stop. Now, the four-way stop, I think, would help in the case where somebody's going to blow that stop sign. At least the people coming, other people are going to stop and be like, whoa, I just...
When I first went to the chief of police, I had writing, describing the stop, traveling, watching towards Piedmont, towards Route 22. And I described that as obscured by a tree. And I had been doing that from recollection because I wrote my email in the fall and the leaves were down and we could see the stop sign.
Yeah.
But when that tree leaves out again, it's not in the right spot to give people enough notice. Now, I don't know if there's some rule about distance from the intersection, but then there's just got to be some way to notice people sooner, because if that tree is leafed out, it's hard to see, or you see it too late because you get past the tree and then you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also have a concern, and I don't know who to talk to, just because it's tax season for me, and every night that I come home, it's pitch black. And I come down Piedmont, and I turn left on the Watchung, and I can't see anything on Watchung because the street light is across the street on the other side. So when I make that left-hand turn, there could be deer. There, you know, a lot of people decide...
Always deer.
Well, yeah, there's always deer, but there could be deer. But the other thing that I seem to notice on our road is that there are lovely sidewalks that nobody chooses to walk on. They're all no, but there's a lot. You know, because we have a lot of I think people who come over from Bridgewater because they like to walk in the area and they bring their dog and they bring their dog stuff and they leave their dog stuff. But you know that turn, I find every night I'm sitting there like I'm like hope.
I agree. I part of the reason I'm here is pointing to this town is I like that road. I don't get real involved with this stuff, but I like the town.
Sure.
And when people come from Middlesex or Bridgewater or up on Watchung Road, I don't want them to hear this clown with his applause and think that we allow that to happen in our town with impunity.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
All right, any other comments? All right.
I have a correction.
Right.
Resolutions 2026-089 and 2026-090.
require two-thirds of a full membership vote, so because those are for temporary emergency appropriations, 2026-08-09 is the lack of transfer of 2025 budget appropriations, 2024 is authorizing temporary emergency appropriations. Those do require two-thirds of full membership, and based upon extension that we said that we're going to the motion separately discussable to their motion.
Yes, so I'll make the motion to set the vote on 1056089 and 1056090.
Right. Second.
All right, roll call.
Council President Lopez?
Yes.
Councilwoman Fultz?
Yes.
Councilman Garrett?
Yes.
Councilman Moore?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. All right, I'm going to open it to any other public comments for anybody thought of anything. Hearing none, we don't have any executive session. I think we're done. All right, we have a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we are.